the hour of 5:30 now, right?
Okay, meeting to order.
Yeah, call meeting to order, Mr. Clerk. Do we want to take the roll?
Yes. Batcher? Present. Heck?
Here.
Metcalf?
Here.
Rogers?
Here.
Tylan?
Here.
Westcott?
Here.
And Scrove.
Six and ten, so we have a quorum?
We have a quorum.
All right. Next on the agenda, we have open public hearing pursuant to 70 ILCS 1205/4-4, discuss the open lands, the Oslod development grant application to replace Veterans Memorial Pool with a spray ground.
You bet. That's the IDNR term for it.
Yes. Would you like to give us... Are you going to provide us additional information on these gray grounds?
I would love to. Thank you. So we've got a public hearing tonight. Thank everybody for joining us. There is a sign-in sheet, Lori, passing around. We'll make sure that goes around to everybody. We would need all of our staff on the board to sign that sheet. So we've got a really exciting opportunity available to us. We've talked to the board about this. We also wanted to give an opportunity for members of the public to provide feedback. Tonight is one step in that. I will also tell you that we have an online engagement piece. We've got some QR codes that you can take with you if somebody wants to hand some to Adam if we could. And you can also solicit input and provide us input through that as well. Feel free to share that with anybody else that would like to give us input.
Yeah.
So, moving on. So there's several planning stages of this process. We had a kickoff meeting. We reviewed the project. We did a lot of preliminary planning and input from both staff, from our consultants, from a splash pad consultant, and then various conversations with the board as well. So the top three items we've completed already. Tonight we're at the bold one, which is the public input meeting. We're going to seek additional input from the board and from the public tonight, and then through the online engagement piece, which will be open through Friday of next week. So that will be the September 23rd. And then the last step in the process, of course, is to submit the grant, which is due on the 30th of this month. So it's a really quick turnaround time. And then as a note to the board, the board will need to pass a resolution next week at the board meeting, authorizing staff to apply for the grant and, of course, committing the funds needed. As a reminder, we believe that we're a distressed community from Oslod criteria, which means that we're eligible up to a $600,000 grant with no local match. However, this project, we believe, will be about an $800,000 project, so we would have to put $200,000 of our funds into the project, which we all talked about taking that if we get the grant, so funding that through the 2024 bond. Okay, so this is an aerial image of the existing park conditions at Edel Park. Edel Park is an 11-acre site. This image is a bit misleading. Can you see my mouse? Okay, so the property line actually goes at an angle. You can see the different mowing patterns here. Everything south of this line is Edel Park. North of that line, this is Wilcox Elementary School. That's owned by District 186. So we're talking about Edel Park property. So it's about 11 acres. It's surrounded by residential. We have an existing parking lot here, which services around 20 cars or so. There's actually a bathroom/concession stand that should have been labeled. It's kind of hiding under the trees here. We have a playground that's in this area, three ball fields. This parking lot is newly milled and overlaid as of about 2 years ago. That's a larger lot, around 50 spots or so. It's in really good shape. This aerial image is actually an old image, as the board will probably recall. We actually funded a loop walking path that goes all the way around the park, and it's an accessible path that connects all those amenities together. That, as a side note, is really, really popular. And then, of course, down in the very south end, we own this parcel of land that kind of goes down here like this as well. And this is the existing vet's pool.
But there's no playground equipment or anything else there?
There's a playground equipment. It's hiding under the trees. It's in here.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's our conceptual site plan, and I apologize for how small this is. I'm happy to share this presentation with the board so you'll have it too. But to walk through here a little bit with you, first I will tell you the splash pad itself with the water features is everything inside this kind of odd
football shape.
Yeah, or a pointed egg, maybe, shape. So inside that area is 3,400 square feet. Now, to put this into perspective, the splash pad at Huma Cox Park is around 500 square feet. So you could fit about almost 7 Huma Cox splash pads inside the footprint of the splash pad. So it's a really good-sized splash pad. But it's bigger than just the water spray features, too. So as you can see, you probably can't read this, but this here is the board had talked about something for adults. So this actually is a hammock area. There'll be 2 hammocks sitting in this area, and it's covered by a fabric shade structure over the top. There's an area here for some chaise lounges. There's a large picnic shelter in this area that's 18 feet by 18 feet that can service for picnics and outings and gatherings and shade, of course, as well. We also have, you can see this kind of triangular shaped structure here. This is actually another fabric shade structure similar to the South Rent or the Centennial Park dog park, those shade structures there. And we have some others too. The Southland Playground House has some fabric shade structures. This little square here is an existing shelter that's currently at the pool. It's about the only thing that's salvageable. It's a metal frame, car siding inside of it. Shelter that's actually in really good shape, so we're going to save that. And then these structures here are a bring-your-own-bag-o toss, another teen adult feature. This will be the first one that we have in our park system, and we're really excited about that. And then we've also, in the design, we've incorporated an area where if in the future at some point we want to put a bathroom, we've left space available for that. On that note, I will mention that, as indicated on this slide, we do have a bathroom that's 300 feet or so away from the splash pad. So there's a bathroom.
As a parent, I would say we need to have one probably closer to there.
Isn't there one in the building?
The building will be demolished. The building and the current pool will all be demolished. If we do a bath house, we looked at that. It's about $100,000. It would cut out half of the splash pad features. So let's talk about that a little bit. So there's 2 ways to design a splash pad. One is a pass-through system, and one is a recirculating system. IDPH has really flexed their muscle on recirculating systems. So both Huma Cox and Southland Park are recirculating systems. They're grandfathered in, but you cannot build a splash pad like that now. It falls underneath the bathing and beach code. You have to build a bathroom. You have to have a shower house. You have to have IDPH permitting, a pump, a recirculating pit. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in peripheral things. We considered building a pass-through system, a recirculating system. That was our first thought because we're familiar with it, we know it. As we did it, when we got the original proposal back, most of the money for the grant was going to everything else and very little money was left for the actual splash pad. It was, I would say, underwhelming at what we were able to do. So we shifted gears. We went to a flow-through system, so we don't have to have a shower and a bathhouse. There's no IDPH permitting. We don't have lifeguards. It's designed in a way that we don't have to fat it because there's no standing water, so there's no risk of drowning like there would be with a splash pad with standing water. And we kind of dumbed that down a little bit so we're not under the Bathing Beach Code, and we took all those savings and we put it back into the splash pad, back into features, a bigger footprint. All of the nozzles they are water-conserving features, so there's minimal flow that goes through it. It will be wet, make no mistake about it, but some of the recirculating systems can have, you know, like these absolutely huge buckets that fill up and they dump and knock kids down and, you know, and then it recaps, brings the water and goes back up. We have a really nice tumble bucket, but it's not designed with a high volume like what you see. So that's the direction that we're going with this. I think it's absolutely the right choice, particularly in the fact that, you know, we are, you know, proposing to demolish, you know, an existing pool, and you know, we want to make sure that what we put in its place is something nice, it's something the neighborhood can be proud of, something that they'll be excited about. So that's the area. Any questions on that?
Is this possible to add features on if we come in?
Yes.
Will involve money at some point?
Well, we've designed it where we can make it a recirculating system. So we'll have the plumbing available to make it a recirculating system if we want to do that. And that's also part of the reason that we designed an area for a bathroom. Because if we do a circulating system, we still have to build shower houses and bathrooms and all that. And I think that alone, was that a couple hundred thousand for showers and bathrooms and all that, and you can see how that budget goes real quick. So it's designed that way, and the features to be able to do that. And yeah, the features can be changed out, and yeah.
I guess, I mean, we could always go back if we discover that it's really a big need, and we can try to find a way to build the bathroom later.
But
how much would that be? About 100,000?
Well, the bathroom alone, just the bathroom, was 100,000. Now, if this is a recirculating system, you can't just do a bathroom. You have to do the shower house. And there's archaic IDPH rules that I find humorous because they force us to do a men's bathroom and a women's bathroom. We cannot do gender neutral. We cannot do family. It has to be, we have to force people to choose between a man, and a woman. As a progressive partner at agency, I have problems with that. We're actually struggling with that with our existing facilities to make sure we're open and welcoming to all members of our community. So we came into some of those weird old, you know, bathing and beach code issues too.
Yeah, that's going to take away the square footage, right?
If
we added a bathroom.
Yeah, because of the funding, right? It was really underwhelming when we got it. In fact, I just could not present it to the board because I know I was disappointed with it. I'm quite certain the community would be disappointed, and we don't want to put the board in that position.
Portable porta potties and something to do a bathroom.
Well, again, we have a bathroom that with flush water, you can wash your hands, and
if it's just a couple minutes walk away. Oh,
yeah.
We've got, you know,
it's within,
a walkway.
It's within eye distance, and there's an accessible walking path that we go right to.
You'll learn.
No,
you'll get the bathing suit, and as soon as they get wet, suddenly you go, I gotta go potty.
Yeah. And older folks watching their brain. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, address their needs as well.
We had originally thought about a bathroom too, but the funding is just not there. And I don't, you know, based on the discussions we've had and when we have our committee meeting, you see on the agenda we're going to talk about fund balance, and Stephen's going to talk a little bit about our fund balance policy and where we're at. We talked about commitments on future bond issues in the last meeting, and there were some concerns that the board had and the staff had about committing too much. And so I think, you know, a project like this has a propensity to get very large. We saw that with Isles Park, right? When you start doing something, a bunch of good ideas come up, and then it's, you know, you have to draw the line somewhere. And so,
I'd rather spend $100,000 on it instead of on a toilet and a sink.
When you have one 300 feet away.
So,
let's look at the features and the splash pad itself to give the board and the public a little feel for what we're looking at. So these next slides focus, remember this pointed shape egg. I'll stick with my description there. So here's the pointed shape egg. And what you'll see in here are many features. I know this maybe is a little bit overwhelming and hard to see because of the image, but I'll just explain a couple things to the board here. First, if you can see this kind of dotted line that goes here, so this would be one segment. There's another dotted line, so here's another segment. The splash pad is designed in a way that is sectioned off for four distinctive designated play areas. So this area on this side, all the features in there are designed for children between the ages of 2 and 5. This area here, these features are designed for children between the age of 5 and 12. This middle section is a family section with some of the larger features, and then this section over here is an adult section. As you recall, that had the shade structure over it, the chase lounges, and some misters for adults. That's, you know, a little bit more of a passive area. I will say also that this is a draft conceptual plan. Nothing that we see in here is set in stone. The board can change it, but based on feedback from the public, if we want to move some things around or change some things up, it's all open for change at this point in time. This section here, too, the children's area, 2 to 5, I'll also say that there a lot of these features in here are animated features. They're all custom painted features, so they're very bright, they're very whimsical, they're textured to the touch on these, and this is particularly attractive. We try to keep our members of our community who have special needs in mind when we design something like this. And we designed this in a way that kids with learning disabilities are drawn to animated objects. They often learn through that. So we've got an area that's I think individuals with learning disabilities will be attracted to it.
And I assume that most of the stuff in that section is going to be either the soft touch or padded.
Yeah.
So that we don't, you know, if you're talking 2 to 5, you could be having some kids that are learning to walk or still.
You'll see. We have an animated image next. It'll give you a little better feel for it. And we'll go over some of the features, too.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, if a kid trips and hits one of the things,
yeah.
That's something a little softer to hit.
Yes. Yeah.
So are there adult spaces to sit so they can sit and watch the kids on this end? I know you got it at the other end. But
yes. 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 Here, let me go back up. So I know it's hard to put these two together, but here's the point of that tip. So this would be the young kids area. There's two hammocks here, which we think would be an adult area with shade, and there's chase lounges here as well. So that would be right next to those.
I would think you would want the hammocks down by the youngest age, because you're not going to be able to stay in that hammock very long.
Yeah.
That's going to be, I think that ought to go further around the horn.
Okay.
To where it's over by older kids, because if I've got a 2-year-old to a 5-year-old, there's no way I'm relaxing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the edge of my seat ready to run in and grab a kid.
So and or the 2-year-old is climbing on the hammock.
Maybe we'll flip-flop the hammock area and the shelter.
What may be best over there, if we're talking benches or seats, if you have those wider seats, that are solo ones that someone could sit with their bag, rather than a bench where you have families mixing. If you had a wider seat where a parent could sit with a diaper bag or whatever else, I think that would be better, because then people can spread themselves out a little bit.
Okay.
You're making some notes too, Jason.
Okay. Okay. Good thoughts. Good thoughts. So we can, like I said, we can shuffle anything around.
I'd say watch some videos of some of the water parks, like the Great Wolf Lodge and some of the others. You may be able to pick up some ideas out of there, because that's where a lot of the things that I'm talking about when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking to the, you know, 2-3 times a year we got a Great Wolf, thinking when, you know, Katie was as little as 2 and on up, you know, just having to. They had the individual beach chairs where we didn't have to share with someone else. You know, it just was a lot easier than being able to do something like that and keep your stuff separate.
Yeah, let me take a look at that. Do that. So each one of these circles represents the splash zone for the feature that you would find in the middle of the circle. So as you can see, this is a lot going on. There's a lot of both above grade and at grade features. This chart up here may be hard to see, and again, I apologize, but to give you a height, this guy's 6 foot tall, and this child is 4 foot tall. So you can see how tall the features are compared to them. So you can see there'll be some height in here as well. Okay.
Stupid question. The mister, the big one in the middle?
This here?
Up top.
This here?
Up to there. Keep going on. Right there. Whatever that structure ends up being.
Oh, there's the lag in the mouse. Okay. It's on here.
That's the tumble down table. Let's make sure that can't be climbed.
Yeah. It's a single, it's straight poles up.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't want someone being able to climb up there. We could end up getting a hand or something,
Yep. Yep. You bet. We have actually a close-up of that exact feature a little later. We can talk about that. So this is more of an animated feature. This image maybe isn't the best. I like this one better. This gives you kind of a feel for it. Now keep in mind that all the peripheral things like the chase lounges and the walking pad and the shelters and all that stuff is not in this computer-generated rendering, but this gives you a feel for kind of, what's going on.
That's still pretty cool, though.
It's really cool. It's really, really cool. So then we've got two or three slides of the individual features here. If you want to point out a couple of these features that are really cool, this one here, this spin flower, this is actually an interactive feature. So there's a handle, if you can see it out there, there's a handle in there, and when kids come under there, they can turn the handle and change the direction of the flow, and I think that'll be a really popular one. Here's one of those kind of soft-touch little fill-up-the-frog areas in the youngest child area. Here's some more features. Here is that massive splash that you were asking about, Chris. As you can see, it's just a single pole, right? So they've had to shimmy up a single pole. I'm not saying nobody would be able to do it, but a wet pole would be fairly hard. This again, it's a massive splash. This is something that I think came up at a board meeting. Hey, let's have some
stuff like that. We talked about the bucket dump.
So this is also, I will say, like all the other features, is a water conservation feature. So the bucket does fill up, and when it dumps, some buckets will dump directly onto the ground, right? This bucket dumps onto a platform that will take the water and spread it out, so it gives the impression that there's a lot more water than what is actually being used. So it's a really cool feature, too. And then this mushroom maze, I wanted to point out as well. So when this feature is on, it forms an umbrella, and this is a common feature that's out of an inclusive designed splash pad park. This feature is particularly attractive to kids with autism because they can get in underneath it, and it's quiet in there. It's not silent, but it's much more quiet, and they can still see out what's going on, but they also have that sense of shelter that's really important. So it's a really cool feature. They're inside a bubble. Yeah. Here's a couple more features. As you can see, some are at grade. Some of this, I think, Misty is over by the adult area just so they're not getting soaked and wet, but it keeps them cool. And the potential grant elements in summary, they include, to be very clear, permanently closing Veterans Memorial Pool, including the bathhouse, and including the pool structure, returning it to green space, and then constructing a modern splash pad replacement project that includes 4 distinctive play areas, 2 to 5-year-old, 5 to 12-year-old, a family area, and an adult area. The splash pad will be wholly enclosed by a perimeter fence, which we're not required to do, but we think for safety purposes, that's the right move. We'll have picnic park shelters, both metal and fabric, more existing.
Add are grills included in that, or can we add a couple?
We can add some grills.
But I think if we're doing a picnic park area, people are doing birthday parties, let them do burgers and hot dogs.
Yep.
How tall is the fence?
Was it 4 feet? 4 feet?
Correct.
Yeah.
A chain link?
Yeah.
Right now, yeah.
But
yeah.
Black chain link.
Right.
Yeah. We tried doing black, it just looks nicer. You don't. So the silver fence is you look at the fence, and the black fence you look through it at what's beyond it. So it kind of hides it a little bit too. So so the design also includes some chase loungers, picnic tables, of course, litter cans, the hammocks that we talked about, the bring your own bags game area, and then of course security lighting. So in summary, that's kind of it. I'll open it up to any more questions that the board has.
You have water fountain over there by the picnic area as well.
We'll look into that. We can do it.
I think if we do a water, if we do a grill area and water fountain like that, it just makes
that's
more
easy.
Inviting.
Yep, absolutely. I'm not sure if it's specifically in there, but we can do that.
Structure be available to rent out and book?
So it is staff's recommendation that we do not staff this facility for obvious reasons, right? We also don't recommend that we charge an admission fee. We charge an admission fee at the pool right now, which I think is another great benefit to the community. You have to pay to get that now and the structure. You don't have to pay to do that, but to get back to your question, which was, I lost.
I mean, just people book
the
shelters, like at Southwind for birthday parties, guaranteed.
I think that's something that we could have a discussion at the board of if we should do that. There's pros to it. There's also cons to it as well. We do have a couple shade areas in here, so maybe we could book one shelter and leave the other one always open. Right? That way, if somebody comes and wants to grill out, they can be able to do it.
I think this could end up being a birthday party destination.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This could be just like Washington Park, right up there by the playground, and kids are constantly having a birthday party. But I've seen fights where three families were all trying to have a birthday party, and none of them booked the pavilion.
So the board is open to making that a rental opportunity? Okay.
I think letting them reserve it, similar like we do, you can reserve a ballpark for your team to practice there.
Yeah.
Or you can take a chance and show up and hope nobody comes.
Yeah.
One and one, though, right? I think you probably should only
play
one open, right?
Yeah. And it could be a public one and then the one that's available for reservation.
And then is there still, with the ball fields there, is there still a room around the perimeter for people to do picnics?
Oh, yeah.
Throw a blanket down?
Yeah. So I flip back up here to this image is probably the best one. So this area is a passive area, which they can absolutely do that. Fly a kite, have a picnic, whatever they want to do. In terms of the footprint, not included in here, but so the board has perspective here. The splash pad, this is the existing bathhouse. The splash pad goes right over the top of it. So the splash pad is right in this general area.
So basically just comes right over the area that's already being taken up by concrete.
Yes. So we tried to push it north a little bit. We wanted to stay away from the fill on the deep end of the pool, right, to make sure we don't have problems. These are some very established large oak trees. We wanted to push it west away from those trees to get rid of litter and shade, and of course they're going to grow. So it's nestled right in there. But there's a lot of oak and green space left in the park. Yeah.
Well, it looks to me like future-wise, we have some room down there where we can grow beetle if we need. If this starts becoming a more popular park because of the splash pad, we have room that we can add additional picnic pavilion or just picnic tables or whatever else.
Yeah. In the area on the east side of that park, that's where the bathroom and the concession stand is, that's where the playground is, and it's kind of a long, sprawling playground, and there's a lot of green space there. Yeah.
Well, and it's not that hard to just throw down. You could throw picnic tables into the open space without them having to have a shelter over them.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of areas like that. So that's the public hearing. I would encourage the chair of this meeting to open it up to the public if the public has any comments. Or
Mr. Adams, do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I've covered a lot of it last time when we were talking about it. Obviously, I get the thing with the no-dep. I mean, it's clearly, if the budget's not there, the staffing's not there, it's not going to happen. Understandable. Glass form big. It looks cool. You know what I mean? That's one of the bigger ones I've seen. There's certainly on the water usage, there's got to be a time to valve, right? A big button that runs for 30 minutes or an hour, it surely doesn't have to run all day every day, right?
Yeah, so the system is a very advanced system. So there'll be a valve in it, or a manifold in it, that will only activate 60% of the features at any one given time, right? So it'll kind of alternate, right?
Sure.
And also, there's exactly what you suggest, and it's called an activation pad.
Right.
Where you come up, you hit the button, and then it runs for some period of time, and it shuts off, you hit it again, right?
Yep.
That way, if it's rainy out, if nobody's there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you don't want to have it running for six hours and nobody.
Right.
Okay. So absolutely, I think Chris Brian about the feeding. I mean, the last one that I was at that was so cool. There was maybe 300 or 400 feet of splash pad. There must have been 125 linear feet of feeding around it, entirely full with it though.
Nice.
You know what I mean? There was sometimes two and three adults for one little kid, and it was just continuous round bench over the whole thing. Oh, well, I don't think you can put too much feeding around that thing for adults, whether it's individual chairs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just kind of need them.
Yeah, and there's also inside the perimeter fence will be grassy areas, right? So they can have picnics and stuff just even inside the fenced area, too, and be really close.
Oh, yeah, even if they can have just enough seating so that the whole contingent can share and have a perimeter plan in there. And look, Nate, I wish you had more people here. You know, it's such a big thing to lose a pool. I hope you don't just eat it on the blowback, but it seems cool and, pretty great.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Any other comments from the board? No? Okay. Just with that, we'll close the public hearing. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. All right. We're moving on to...